This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
With us tonight, and ladies and gentlemen, and a very, very warm welcome to our Hastings District Youth Council. I wonder if you might just stand up so everyone can see. Welcome everyone here tonight. Look forward to hearing from our Te Hito candidates. Can I firstly acknowledge local MP and Labor candidate Anna Lorke, Catherine Webb, National candidate, Robert Douglas, ACT candidate, Nick Ratcliffe, Green candidate, Michael Nahuka, Vision New Zealand, and our moderator, Natalie Rowe. Lovely to have you here, Natalie. And can we thank the IATA College for their support in providing this beautiful venue?
Ko te whakaara tuitahi mātu ki te rongarawa, nāna ngā mea katoihanga, he mihi mutu ngā kure ki a koe iho ako koe rā te kaiwhakarite mō mātou te tangata. Quick translation, just want to thank God that I'm here. Hey, kia ora everyone, my name's Michael Nahuka, candidate for Vision New Zealand. Māori, English, Irish, Scottish, Mexican probably, and I'm married to my wife who's in the audience, five beautiful children, and I'm an old school Hastings High boy, and so I'm actually really happy to be here. Again, I just want to acknowledge and thank the Youth Council for the organising of such an awesome event. Thank you to our mayor, it's always great to see you. Thank you for those beautiful words, and to Natalie, it's great to see you again. But that's it from me. Bless you.
Hi, I'm Rob Douglas from the ACT Party. I've got three school-age daughters. So for me, one of the reasons that I'm standing at this year's election is because I want to see a bright future for them and for all young New Zealanders. A future where they have opportunities, where you have opportunities to fulfil your dreams here. One of the ways you're going to do that is clearly through your education. But also, it's critical that when you get through your education, that New Zealand has a strong, healthy and productive society capable of generating good quality, well-paying jobs that you deserve, so you don't have to seek those opportunities overseas. It's also important that we go together as a country united under the Treaty of Waitangi, which is an enlightened document that brings us together, not one that divides us, as this government, current government seems to make it happen.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Catherine Webb, the National Party candidate for Tukituki. I'm a 44-year-old mother of four children, school age. They all go to school here in Havelock North, so I'm really passionate about education and young people's issues because I'm heavily involved in the community through lots of different sports groups and organisations. I sat on the school board of trustees as well. But I look back and I look back at when I was at school, and I was fortunate to be given a good education. And in my last year of school in seventh form, I was always interested in politics. I actually became a New Zealand Youth MP for the New Zealand Youth Parliament, and then went on to study politics and law at university. And then I became a TV reporter for TVNZ and the BBC in London. So always interested in politics, but came back to Hawke's Bay 13 years ago, had my four children with my husband, and I moved into the horticulture sector, where I've been head of marketing for Bostock New Zealand, one of our large apple exporters here. And I've seen as a region we've got so much potential as a food-producing region. And we've had a government... Okay, I went over first time. There you go. 1 minute. We're tight. We're tight on the dial.
Okay. Kia ora, kamutou, and welcome, and thank you for having me here as your local Member of Parliament. When I was your age, my principal stood me up in school in front of my class and called me mediocre. It was the day I left, and I never went back. But determined to do something with myself, I went and became a local community newspaper reporter. And that taught me so much about why local issues and helping your community and supporting your community is so important. You need to be able to stand up and fight for what you believe in. I think that is what you see in the future of New Zealand. Make sure you do what you want to do. Be the brightest and best you can be. I work hard as your local MP. I stand up for this region where I've built a business and championed everything that I believe will grow stronger in.
Tēnā koutou e hoa mā, ko Nick Radcliffe toko ingoa, he kaitono ro he pōti ahau ki te pāti kākareke. Just wanted to give you a quick introduction to the Green Party. We have a wonderful ultra-democratic system here in New Zealand, MMP, where one of these excellent wahine will win your electorate seat, and we also have a party vote. So, intro to the Green Party. We are guided by our principles: ecological wisdom, social responsibility, appropriate decision making, and non-violence, which basically means the world is finite, therefore unlimited material growth is impossible. Decisions should be made by those who are directly affected by the outcomes of those decisions, and just be nice to each other. The Green Party is also guided by the founding documents of Aotearoa New Zealand, He Whakaputanga, 1835, and Te Tiriti o Waitangi, 1840. Kotoa Plan for People and Planet is upholding the Crown's promise to guarantee tino rangatiratanga. Kia ora koutou.
So the first round of questions is current issues, and the first question is cost of living. Petrol, rent, food, power, insurance, interest rates. These have all gone up significantly. Young people are entering a world that is increasingly unaffordable and inaccessible. What specific policy or initiatives are you proposing to alleviate the cost of living crisis in New Zealand that will make a real difference?
Our plan will create a better life for everyone. We will make sure that everyone in Aotearoa has what they need to have good food on the table, a safe place to call home, and live a good life. And we will pay for it with a fairer tax system. Right now, the wealthiest few pay less than half the effective tax rate of a nurse or a carpenter. While they hoard wealth, thousands of people are forced to struggle to get by, put food on the table, pay the bills, and heat their homes. The Green Party has always put people first. We want an economy that serves the society, not a society that serves the economy. With more Green MPs, we can set the direction of the next government. We are going to be capping rents, lifting incomes for people in and out of work, and making public transport free.
To pick up your will prescription, it is now free. It is, we've made prescriptions free for all. We're being very, very strong on making sure that the minimum wage that you earn continues to grow. We're making sure that your first year's free in university or tertiary education. And unlike the national government, who did not want to have the interest on student loans, they stay. Another thing that we're doing, we're making sure that apprenticeships, if you don't want to go to university, you can get a trade and it is free permanently. Things for your future.
Free, free, free. Yes, Labor. Tax, tax, tax. And spend, spend, spend. That's what Labor has done. Wastefully spent taxpayers' money. So we are in recession, ladies and gentlemen. Recession. Our economy is in turmoil. Under a national government, we will strengthen the economy. We will get the wheels moving in our economy so we can reduce the cost of living, so that we can build infrastructure, we can build roads, so we can have a better tax system, and we can have tax relief. So we get rid of red tape, we get rid of regulation, and we make sure it's easier to do business. It's easier to grow, it's easier to farm, we get the wheels moving in our economy. That is what is going to reduce the cost of living, not wasteful bureaucracy.
But what I'd say is that we actually need to cut some real cost out of our budget. The ACT Party is the only party with a fully costed alternative budget, and it delivers $16 billion in cost savings, puts our budget back in the black, and delivers tax cuts to 17.5% on the first 70,000, and 70,000 and 28% thereafter. Two tax brackets, very simple. And that would improve the productivity of our country. It wouldn't send all our people offshore that actually have any wealth because they're worried about a wealth tax. And it would actually create jobs and a high productivity society.
Awesome question. Real easy. They gave me the issue we're facing with the question, this government. I'm not in government yet. So really, you know, as a business owner as well, I employ 18 families here in Hawke's Bay, 4 youth, 16. And the cost of living really affects the home. Vision New Zealand's flagship policy is the home, the family unit. And so just empowering the family unit will not only help them with future costs or inflation or anything like that, but it'll equip them to be able to make better financial decisions. Also, again, around education, lifting those areas will help them earn more, increase, obviously, their income. But as I said in my cheeky remark, our government currently has given us this, the living crisis we're in, and so we can take that away.
And our next one, talking of hot topics, youth crime. Youth offending is a major issue in Hawke's Bay. While it's easy to focus on statistics and numbers, it is important to remember that behind each statistic is a young person with their own unique story and circumstances. As a candidate for office, what specific measures do you propose to address this issue and turn the lives of these young people around? Mike, you've still got the microphone, so I can go now.
We're actually in a crime crisis at the moment, as we all know. Crime rates have gone up 658% from 2017 to 2020. Again, because of my friends in the party that are in government. And so our solution, again, is come back to the family. I currently work in the sector in our prison here in Hawke's Bay Regional Prison, running our program called Man Up, and also partner with other great initiatives. And so coming back to the youth question there, I also work with a group called Youth Nation. And again, it's about just equipping and helping and supporting and mentoring our young people and helping them be able to express themselves in a safe and expressive way. But again, wrapping those supports because the crime really is an outcome of the real issue.
We actually need to set some boundaries, and I think at the moment those boundaries are currently being lost. So the ACT Party proposes a three-tiered sort of strategy, but the first step is actually what we call youth infringement notices. And these actually are fairly practical, ground-level intervention that will give immediate consequences. If you commit a crime, a police officer can effectively give you a ticket to go and do things like cleaning off tagging or picking up rubbish or something like that. So that right from the very start, there's actually some immediate boundaries being shown. And then we've got a tiered approach to the point where, you know, the criminal justice system actually takes care of these youth.
So we've had a government that has been so soft on crime for the past 6 years. National is going to toughen up. There must be consequences and there must be accountability. And we understand that a lot of the crime that has been caused is from youth offending. It's 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 16-year-olds. So we're saying in terms of having accountability and consequence, we're going to introduce military academies and boot camps for youth offenders because this is going to give them purpose. It's going to set them on a positive pathway and stop them from re-offending. We need to do something. Crime is out of control in this country. We've got 33% violent crime, 43% retail crime, a ram raid every 10 hours, and we need to sort it out. We've got many more policies on toughening up on crime. That is just one of them, and we understand youth is a problem.
When I was 13, I was caught stealing. The police officer came. He was a community cop called Bruce Kitto. I got driven back to my school and embarrassed in front of my parents and got a jolly good telling off. How many of you know the name of a local police officer? How many of you know your community cop? National cut community cops and National closed our community police stations. I want to see us bring back our community cops on the street and on the beach, because when they're out there, you know who's looking out for you and keeping safe.
Everybody is talking about crime as though it happens in a vacuum. It doesn't. It happens here in society. Crime is a symptom of an inequitable society that doesn't serve the majority of people. The Green Party knows that we need a justice system that treats everyone with humanity, dignity and respect. Just throwing them in prison and, like, throwing them in prison and throwing away the key, it doesn't work. Like, we've been trying that for hundreds of years. It does not work. You have to address the root causes, which is poverty, lack of engagement with community, and inequality. So let's get some nice, warm, cosy houses and, make life safe for everybody.
Now, the last question for the current issues segment is education. As we strive to raise the future leaders of tomorrow, it is crucial that we provide them with the education and support that they need to succeed. However, with issues such as a shortage of teachers, low wages and poor working conditions for educators, and a truancy rate of over 50% among students, it is clear that our current system is not suitable. Sustainable even. As candidates for office, what specific measures do you propose to address these challenges and ensure that our youth receive the education they deserve?
I'm holding the microphone again, aren't I? We need to imagine afresh what a great education looks like. Lifelong learning opportunities, inclusivity, strong school communities where teachers are valued properly and supported to harness the boundless energy of our children. The Green Party stands with the teachers' unions. We support all workers who are taking action in their workplaces. That includes especially the public sector. Successive governments have created an unequal education system that's underfunded and under-resourced. It is time for our political leaders to put this right. But once again, all we're getting from the mainstream parties, or we're about to get from the mainstream parties, are sound bites and simplistic solutions that won't work. The Green Party understands that it is not the school system. The working conditions of our teachers are the learning conditions of our tamariki.
I believe you are brilliant. I believe that those young people in our education system are doing remarkably well. You've had an incredibly tough couple of years with COVID, and you have absolutely shown us that technology and learning, you are thriving. Every child, every one of you, has something brilliant to offer. Make sure you go forward with teachers who support you and lean in on those that you know that you go well with. This government has increased teachers' wages because they needed to go up. We're reducing class sizes and we're making sure that you get to do a trade or go to university or go on to do whatever you want in life.
And I agree that we should have performance in our education system, and that is the point we don't at the moment. It's failing dismally. We can't even see our Year 8 students, 50% of them, passing a basic reading and writing test at the moment. We need a world-class education system. And to get that education system, we're going to have to lift performance. And to do that, we're going to focus in primary and intermediate on going back to the basics, teaching the basics brilliantly. That's an hour of reading, an hour of writing, and an hour of maths in our classrooms every day. It has to happen. When education is the pathway to a job and the pathway to success, we need to be getting it right, and a national government will transform our education system.
Yeah, look, we've got a real truancy problem in New Zealand, and you can't teach kids who aren't in the classroom. one of the things that that would do is we would actually get each class to, each school to send in a attendance report with individual student numbers every single day by 9:30 a.m. And we would put a national focus on this because kids aren't there, they aren't learning. We're also going to bring about a rich curriculum full of information that kids need for the 21st century, and we're going to give the teachers and the principals the freedom to teach the best way they know.
Awesome education. We need a, well, Vision New Zealand will completely change the education system. Again, our flagship policy is family. Education, if we look at it like this, from the next 20 years from now, if you look at how our young people are getting educated, that'll actually determine where we sit in the future with the next business owners, politicians, school teachers, and the likes of. And so it's really important. I spent some time with an economist about 6 months ago, and he talked about this. And he could say that, he actually said he can tell the future based on our education system, based on where we're at. And so locally in Hawke's Bay, I know the trust in our community in Hastings. There's 500 to 600 youth between the age of 12 and 16 that aren't engaged in anything in Hastings and Napier. And this, yeah. So, thank you.
Okay, just want to check with our time person that we're doing okay for time. Are we around? Oh, that looks good, everybody. So, we're going to head into our second round of questions. And if you thought the first round got some passion going, I'm sure these are about to do even more. The second round of questions is Tuki Tuki issues. Everybody smile again. The first one, Hawke's Bay Hospital. Health is wealth. However, despite the importance of this issue, it seems that the reality lags behind the rhetoric. With a rundown hospital, lack of basic air conditioning, and ballooning wait times, it is clear that our healthcare system is in need of urgent attention. For years, successive governments have promised real action, but change has been slow to come. As candidates for office, what specific measures do you propose to address these challenges and improve the health outcomes for Hawke's Bay?
Awesome. Again, we will, as Natalie mentioned, our hospital, the facility itself needs an overhaul. I just read a couple of days ago that an MRI scanning machine actually lost its accreditation, so we can't even scan, but that's under review. So again, for us in Vision New Zealand and for myself, we will again lift and support much needed infrastructure costs to the hospital by redesigning everything we're doing in government. And also, again, with the nurses, we will also drop mandates. That's one bold thing that I stand for. So that people can get their jobs back, so that there's more nurses, because I know hundreds of nurses that have lost their jobs, which are cause issues there. So that's all we'll do.
Look, the ACT Party would be quite open to introducing fresh capital in the terms in form of public-private partnerships for the healthcare system so that we can get some good facilities. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if the cat is black or white, as long as it catches mice, right? And so, you know, we are paying for the cost of infrastructure in one way or another, and private partnerships is probably a really good way to actually get some proper infrastructure. ACT has also just released our policies around the workforce for the healthcare system, which is currently heavily constrained by the ability to bring in foreign staff whose qualifications may not work here and that sort of thing. We tackled that problem.
Look, in 2017, National committed to building a hospital here in Hastings. And Labor came in and they wiped it off the table. It would have been halfway to being booked by now. Instead, Labor has focused on spending $11 billion on centralising the health system, creating ballooning bureaucracy, consultants, managers, and we've got a health system currently at its knees. We need to turn it round. And National is going to invest in our doctors, in our nurses, and in frontline services in our hospitals, where funding and resourcing is absolutely critical to relieving the crisis in our health system at the moment.
We are rebuilding our hospital. It's already started. We've invested $100 million into ensuring that we get new theatres built, that we start getting back our cancer facility treatment facility. Now, for Catherine to say that National promised to build the halfway through the hospital now is wrong. National promised $500 million in 2025. For 9 years, National did not put one single cent into our hospital. With me, and as your local MP, I am absolutely committed to continuing to rebuild a new hospital.
We do need a new hospital. There has been work going on in the hospital, but it's just band-aids over the big issue. New hospital would be great. There are other, where are we going to put it? We're going to put it on the floodplain, I was reading the paper the other day. Picked out a lovely site by the river there to put a new hospital, so yeah, let's think about that. But also, let's deal with, again, root causes, zoom out a little bit. Nurses aren't getting paid enough. Why do they want to put in extra hours? People aren't healthy. People can't put food on the table. People are living in cold damp homes. Then I love it.
The next question is housing. The dream of home ownership, once a cornerstone of the Kiwi way of life, is becoming increasingly out of reach for many. With rising house prices and rental market, even securing a place to live is stretching family budgets to the limit. It is clear that we can no longer afford to simply trim around the edges of this issue. We must address it at its root. There is not enough housing in New Zealand. As candidates for office, what is your vision for addressing the housing crisis and ensuring that people have access to safe and affordable housing in Hawke's Bay?
Housing is a fundamental human right. It gets treated here as though it's an investment opportunity, we can capitalise on this. One in six New Zealand homes is owned by someone who owns 20 or more properties. So it's big business, right? They're not up to standard, houses are not up to standard, and capital gains are being made, capital gains are not being taxed. There's nothing more important than a warm, safe, affordable home, food on the table, people we love. Too many families are being forced to pay through the roof. 25% of renters are paying over 40% of their income on housing costs. Like, it's crazy.
Labor has so far undertaken the biggest housing build in a lifetime generation in Hastings. 333 houses built, 111 still underway, 86 more. That compares to the entire 9 years that National were in government. They built six and they tore down and sold down over 200. We have to keep building homes. We also have to invest in the infrastructure, like the $18.5 million we've just put in, to ensure that Hastings and Flaxmere can keep building homes for all. We must keep building homes.
And what about the 100,000 Kiwi built homes that Labor said they were going to build and they delivered 1,700? So we're in a housing crisis at the moment. We understand that we've got to build houses. We've got to go for housing growth. But we've had a government that has had an attack on landlords and basically made rents way more expensive. $175 more a week people are paying at the moment for rent. That's your university rent when you go to university. So we need to get on top of housing. We need to stop the attack on landlords so we can open up more housing. But we need to build housing. So we need to get rid of the red tape, the regulation. We need to make it easier to build houses. We need to open up more land for councils to be able to build houses here in Hastings.
I'm a property valuer. I'm also a property developer. So I understand this stuff. And what I can tell you from first-hand experience with subdivision I'm involved with at the moment is that I've spent 18 months on paperwork for a development phase that's about 3 months of physical works. And then we go into more paperwork. That doesn't build houses. Paperwork doesn't build houses. Actually, hammers and nails, they build houses. So we've actually got to get to the core root of the problem. We've tangled up the paperwork and we can't fix it by just asking the state to build more, you know, houses that no one really wants to live in the long term.
Awesome. Housing, we review the RMA Act that restricts, again, red tape, that cut the red tape so that we can actually build more properties. By the way, I think Hastings District Council is awesome at this, and Mayor, you're the man, or you're the woman. You know, we're doing some great developments. I have a building and construction business, and so this is what I love to do, get whānau into homes. And so again, we'd make the process for building homes a lot seamless and easier, therefore freeing up capital and income so things can be built, so more jobs can get created, so that the economy can get a bit of a boost. And then we'd also look at working with families to help them get into a home, from wherever they are at an income threshold, and help them look after their home, help them value it, help them take care of it, and then help them onto the path of home ownership.
Gentlemen at this, either end of this debate are going to learn a lesson for the next debate they're in. Don't sit at the end. The next question, and this one will be passionate for everybody in this room, I would imagine, and all their families and friends, is cyclone recovery. The last 3 years have been marked by unprecedented challenges, including a global pandemic and natural disasters that have left many communities reeling. As we look to the future, we fear that youth will be among those hugely affected by these events. As the effects of climate change begin to take hold, the next 3 years, and indeed the next few decades, will require strong and decisive leadership from our government to address these climate challenges and support the recovery of our communities. As a candidate for office, what specific measures do you propose to support our Tuki Tuki community during these difficult times and to ensure we can do everything possible to prevent something like this from occurring again?
Big topic. I'm currently out there at the moment working with my business, removing the silt. And so I understand this through and through. I'm mentally, physically, spiritually working, walking side by side with our families of Hawke's Bay region. And so, simple answer, how do you prepare for a 1 in 100 event like this? You do your best. You help, you do some investment in the civil defence. You help the schools again, a whole part about redesigning the education system. You help every single home. Be ready for any kind of emergency. But again, coming to the cyclone response, the key is money. Christchurch had a better deal than what we have. Have a look into that. At the moment, the council has done something great with government, but yeah, we'll add to that and improve it. Thank you.
The ACT Party has a full cyclone go-through recovery plan. about 15 points, but particularly what it does is create a special economic zone around Hawke's Bay, which will cut a whole lot of red tape and make things a lot easier to get through the Building Act and the RMA and that sort of thing. But also what we need to do is refocus government waste. And at the moment, we can cut back bureaucrat levels, 2017 levels, cutting $16 billion out of the budget, which can then be well-focused spending on Hawke's Bay, where we actually do need it.
Look, I think when you've had a cyclone and people's livelihoods have been absolutely devastated and we've seen millions of dollars worth of damage, you know, you need good leadership. You need direction, you need decisions, and you need funding out fast. And all we saw from this government was an absolute shambles. We've got people still waiting in limbo, still waiting for decisions, waiting for clarity, waiting for direction. And I suppose me, as a political candidate, if I'm fortunate to get through in 8 weeks' time, I'll make sure I'm standing up for Hawke's Bay so that we rebuild bigger, better, and we're more resilient, and we future-proof our region if cyclone happens again, because climate change is real, so we need to be prepared and learn from this time.
I'd like to acknowledge the leadership of Mayor Sandra. I've worked with Sandra on the cyclone and don't believe in any way that we should politicise it. But we have, the government has just announced with the council, $560 million to help rebuild the roads and the bridges and to build back flood resilience. My job as a local MP has to be working side by side by families behind the scenes, helping them navigate through. I will continue to do that, and I believe that when we start to build back stronger, this region will grow and be better for all.
Well, I'm glad that everyone's finally accepting that climate change is real, and it might be connected to having an economy that is completely dependent on fossil fuels. Hastings District Council organised a soil symposium last year, and Ngāti Witomoana and I opened and shared a wonderful bit of mātauranga, Māori Willis. He said when Pākehā first started to settle in the Heretonga Plains, saw us all starting to build on the flats. Now the modern way is to live in the hills, to come down to the flat, to gather your kai and take it back home. They watched us starting to build their towns and they said, that ain't going to end well.
Looking at Chris, my timekeeper, we're keeping a quick fire round. Yes or no answers only. And we'll just run down the line very quickly. Lower the voting age to 16. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. No.
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 Is the public transport adequate in Hawke's Bay? Yes or no?
No and a half.
I don't think anyone uses it.
Yes. No.
No.
I use public transport, I don't drive. That's one person.
Me too. Anyone else use public transport?
Yeah.
Oh,
what of you?
Number three. Can you be in politics without lying? Yes or no?
Yes.
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 We're united here, yes.
I can, yes.
Do you believe in man-made climate change? Yes or no?
No.
Yes.
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 Do you believe it's important to have youth facilities in Hastings? Yes or no?
Youth facilities in Hastings. Yes, it's important that we have those.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yay! Who's your favourite New Zealand Prime Minister?
None.
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen yet.
Our rock star Prime Minister, John Key.
Well, I'm going to say my boss, Chris Hipkins.
I'm going to say your old boss, Jacinda Ardern.
Back to a little bit more weighty questions now. Youth-focused is this section. And the first question is, the rise of vaping amongst young people is a growing concern, with many experts warning of the potential health risks and negative impacts on our youth. Despite this, the issue continues to be a major challenge for our communities. As candidates for office, what specific measures do you propose to address the issue of vaping amongst young people and to protect their health and well-being? Part two of the question, it's a bit of a big one, this one. How do you plan to work with schools, parents, community organisations to implement these measures and make a real difference in the lives of our youth? So two parts, the specific measures to address and how you're going to work with it in the community.
One of the things that you'll find with the Green Party is that our policies are often based on actual evidence and research. Common sense is all well and good, but you only have to spend about 5 minutes at university to realise that it's often, the actual answers are often counterintuitive and not that obvious after all. Drugs like nicotine and alcohol should be regulated in an evidence-based way. The specific proposal announced by the government last month, is being applauded by the Green Party. Chloe Swarbrick is all over the drugs reform.
Well, I think this is a really good opportunity for youth in Hawke's Bay, and particularly for the Youth Council. I would, as a local MP, be really keen to work alongside you on developing a youth policy, vape policy for Hastings, and seeing how we can get that happening, especially when it comes to ensuring that there are, as we know now, we're not going to be building any vape shops close to school, but it's still too accessible. But I actually think that the answers to this actually lie with you too, working alongside with government. So that's what I'd like to do.
Look, we see vaping as a big problem with youth in our community at the moment, and we've been saying for a long time that we had to review those settings, and we actually supported Labor's recent announcements around moving the vape shops further away from schools. But we would also be looking very, very closely at vaping as a national government. We will be looking over to Australia as well. They've obviously gone a step further and made them only accessible at pharmacies. And so we will be looking very closely at vaping. We haven't developed any policy around this yet, but we would certainly be working with our community organisations and services to ensure that, you know, we are on top of it, because as a mother of four children as well, I'm genuinely concerned about vaping in our communities with you.
The ACT Party stands up for individual freedoms, but also personal responsibility. We don't tell you you can't go rock climbing because it's too dangerous. We don't tell you you can't go skydiving because it's too dangerous. We don't necessarily go out and recommend these things. We don't necessarily recommend vaping. But we're not going to tell you you can't do it. That is your choice. Not advised, but it's your choice. So that's our stance on it. But look, in terms of the schools or how you deal with it in a local community, what we will do, and I mentioned it earlier when I was talking about education, is that we would empower the teachers and the principals to be able to come up with what works for them rather than dictating it by some bureaucrat in Wellington that actually doesn't know the environment you're working in.
Vaping. Well, any nicotine-based product is addictive, and you can actually get some interesting side effects from anything you're addicted to. So anyway, with us, coming back to education, you know, I'm going to take what Anna said, because that was my answer, Anna. We'd work with the council, the youth council and the schools, again doing a campaign of the pros and cons of any substance abuse. Therefore, our young people, or youth, will be more educated and hopefully encourage them to make wise decisions. And so that's our plan with that. Again, look, your health is gold. Our young people are the future of our nation. And so we want our nation, our future, anyway, to be strong and healthy as possible. And so, and as a father, I always encourage our grandchildren as well.
Access to mental health care is a fundamental right. Yet for many young people in our community, this right is being denied. With long wait times, limited resources, and a complete lack of available services, many of our youth are struggling to get the help they need. As candidates for office, what specific measures do you propose to address this crisis and ensure that our youth have access to the mental health care they deserve?
This comes back to our health system, really. Mental health, sexual health, any health, you know, physical health. I suppose for us, and for me personally, again, it comes down to redesigning the whole health system. With mental health and any health issue that you have, you shouldn't have to be, you shouldn't have limited access to the resources you need, to the treatments that you need, and to the care that's available. And so for us, we would ensure that for youth, there would be easier access to those things. I know currently there's some great initiatives out there, but we would get behind that and make a, I suppose, I liken it to a smorgasbord, you know, where the youth can actually just pick what they need and really connect. And so that's what we would do.
The ACT Party would set up a new organisation called the Mental Health and Addiction Service in New Zealand. Essentially what that would do, work alongside but separate from DHBs or the six new health bodies, in order to give people that are in need of that service a single point that they can contact and get a whole suite of services, not just the service that's actually provided by the local health board. Now that's the main thing that we'd do. I think that would make quite a big difference to the lives of many people that have quite complex problems and may need something that isn't locally otherwise available.
Look, it's really interesting that we're seeing such issues in mental health that you rightly said, because Labor announced a couple of years ago that they were going to put $2 billion into mental health in New Zealand. And we just don't know where that money has gone. It's literally just wastefully gone somewhere or has not been spent. But National takes mental health really, really seriously. And so seriously that we're actually going to have New Zealand's first mental health minister in Matt Doocy. And I spoke to him the other day and he sees that, you know, we really need to put some resources into school and into our youth to ensure that we're seeing more resilience in our well-being in schools. And I think that will go a long way towards improving mental health outcomes in this country.
I spoke to the Karamu High School principal the other day about the work that is going on in schools, where we now have ensured that there is a counsellor and hopefully two coming into schools. The other thing is around resilience, and we have been investing, especially since the cyclone, into supporting resilience lessons and making sure that those tools and being able to be taught those tools from a young age are actually part of checking in with each other. I actually think youth of today are actually more engaged in looking after their mental health than we give you credit for.
I think that you do look and talk to your friends, and you do know where to go if you need help. Yes, we need to do more. Yes, we do need to. But always remember there's somebody there that you can talk to and should.
Yeah, this is a topic that's close to my heart. I suffer from anxiety and depression. So I thought I'd run as a political candidate for the Green Party. No, Green Party is the right team to be on for this one. Yeah, from the high cost of living makes it hard to pay the bills, cold down unaffordable houses, you know, political choices affect our mental health. Again, it's approaching the root causes, you know, what stresses people out, what makes working in a capitalist system unrewarding, you know, let's give meaning, let's create a system that is fair, that is equitable, where everybody's getting along nicely, and yeah, that sounds right, doesn't it?
Thank you very much indeed for that. Now, we're on to 1 minute each closing statement. Shall we mix it up a bit?
Yes.
So I think you've got a very clear choice in this election, and it's a really, really important decision that many of you will need to make in the less than 8 weeks now. You've either got a coalition of chaos in Labour, Te Pāti Māori and the Greens, and more economic mismanagement, dysfunctional government and a shambles, or you have got a strong economy, no wasteful spending, getting on top of the cost of living crisis, building infrastructure, better health and education outcomes. That is what a strong, stable national government will deliver. And I really want to advocate for our region, for Tukituki, particularly after we have been devastated by a cyclone. We've got a big rebuild and recovery on our hands. And I believe that I have the practical and personal experience to deliver as your next MP, the Tuki Tuki.
Right, final words. Vote for me. A whole minute, vote for me. Look, I'm part of the dirt in this region, Tuki Tuki, born and raised. My ancestors have died here, bled here, farmed here, worked here, schooled here, got kicked out of school here, and we're still here. But, you know, I didn't want to stand, but something Catherine said, leadership, and that's something I believe in. And if Tuki Tuki has good leadership, and that carries into Parliament, we can have a different government. I heard it quite harsh, actually. Is that all right if I say it? How can we have a healthy nation with a sick government?
Yeah.
I was like, wow. So send me in there, Tuki Tuki whānau, and I'll be Dr. Rōpata. Give it an injection. No, but again, yeah, I'm passionate about our region. Yeah, thank you.
In me, I'm a local MP who genuinely cares about the community and helping people here to live their lives better. In me, you have someone who is a really hard worker. I work hard. I work tooth and nail fighting for this region every day. I love this region. It's where I come home. And I think that's so important when you're in Parliament, like I am, making sure that Hawke's Bay is front and centre of every single decision that is made for this region. Vote for me. And I will continue to be the hardest working local MP in a Labour government, in government, that you will see time and time again. You know me, you know I work hard, I'm asking for your vote. Vote Anna Lorke, your hard working local MP for Tuki Tuki.
Look, we can't keep doing the same things we've always done and expect different results. Under the John Key government, New Zealand's median wage went from $11,000 behind Australia to $17,000 behind Australia. Under Labor, under this current government, it went from $17,000 to $23,000. They're both failing it. We actually need some real change. We need some fresh ideas, and they have to be sound in economic principle and bring about real job opportunities and growth for our economy, because it's with that that we can afford a world-class health system and a world-class education system. So, look, what I ask is for you to give your party vote to ACT. You can decide between those guys who you want to give your electorate vote to, but I'm asking for your party vote for real change.
Apart from the fact that Coalition of Chaos is possibly the coolest name for a government ever, the real chaos is when you leave your economy to market forces that are completely beyond your control. Neoliberal capitalism inherently does not show any leadership. It just kind of throws the economy into the wind and hopes for the best. What we need is to actually lead this country from the heart, with our values, with ecological wisdom, with social responsibility, with appropriate decision making, upholding Te Tiriti o Waitangi, upholding Te Whakaputanga 1835. Ko tēnei te wā, now is the time to party vote green. All we've heard from some of the other parties is band-aid solutions, policy whack-a-mole, hey, like not actually dealing with the issue, just like, you know, whack-a-mole and it pops up over there, you're like, oh, whack it over there, like just chasing stuff around, like deal with the core issue.
Thank you very much.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.